Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
April 5th, 2012. That was Freedom Train, the title track from Ottawa singer-songwriter Scott Tuage's latest CD. Scott cites musical influences from Stevie Wonder to Steely Dan, which shows in his unique blend of funk, rock, blues, and soul. Freedom Train was released in early March at the official launch, and Scott's on the phone from Ottawa with us tonight to talk about his music, ministry, and CD. Good evening, Scott.
Hi there, how you doing?
Not bad. Let's go right back to the beginning. When did you first start getting interested in music?
When I was 15, actually, I got my first guitar. And so I'm 46 now, so that's over 30 years ago. And I just, started off an acoustic duo and then formed a band. And, I was on the road touring back in the days when, Gordy and the Boys and the Tragically Hip were playing bars and playing Monkees tunes. So, I mean, that's how long I was into it, sort of slugging it out. But that was that's my musical roots, if you will.
Now, what sort of interested in that in you in that type of lifestyle?
I think it was, I only came to know the Lord about 6 years ago. And, I've been clean and sober now for over 23 years. But, I mean, back then, of course, it's... I just was always a music lover, but, the bands and all of that, music, clubs, the excitement, that lifestyle, I would say that's what really, drew me to it in that kind of sense. But I always loved music and just wanted to try to reproduce, what I had heard on on records.
Now, that can be a pretty tough slog, though. I mean, typically you're going from bar to bar each night and trying to interest people in what you're doing. How did you sort of survive that and just sort of keep that love for music alive despite the journey that it would take, the arduous journey it would take?
Well, I would say back then, I mean, it was rough. And I mean, as I said, I mean, I was right in the middle of, drug and alcohol addiction. So it was, you're playing clubs, it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I mean, that's the life I was living, back then, so it was kind of the traveling roadshow, traveling party, but then you'd have to deal with stuff again the following morning. And just, I was the guy who ended up by default dealing with all the club owners. And, it wasn't a good scene. I mean, you'd get ripped off or it's not the glamour that people think it is. And I would say even in the context today of Christian music, I would say that for these guys who go on the road, going on the road and touring, it's a tough deal. I mean, the great thing about Christian music, about faith-based music, is that you're typically playing in venues like churches and other places where, you're not dealing with that other kind of crowd, if you will. So people who are there are genuinely interested in hearing what you have to sing about, hearing what you have to say, versus, just purely entertain me while I'm, in the middle of a big party.
Mm-hmm. Although even with Christian groups, I've had a chance to talk to a few over the years, and even that can be a bit of, there's an element of boredom as well as the excitement of doing the ministry, of doing the performance, of being up on stage and playing. But there's also going from hotel room to hotel room to hotel room on long stretches of journeys on buses that break down and things like that as well.
Well, absolutely, and I think the difference is for me as a follower of Jesus, that it's I have to take a look at every evening or every you know, every performance, if you will, is an opportunity to reach more people for the kingdom and for those who know the Lord, to strengthen, encourage, and challenge them as well, and get them thinking, you know, outside of the box, and perhaps dealing with stuff that they haven't wanted to deal with. So I think that if you view it, you know, overall as a ministry opportunity, then, you know, that will hopefully change things. But it's like any relationship in life, right? I mean, you know, it's like our marriages. I've been married, you know, I think it's been about 16 years, and it's you know, marriage and relationships are like a dance. You know, you go from, you know, you're in love to, you know, everything that your partner says is the gospel. It's, oh, there's so this or so that. And then you spend time together, and then it's like, okay, you kind of get into that, you know, state of sort of normal living, that then you're in love, it's kind of back and forth. And I think that's the journey it is with music. And I think for me, to keep it interesting, I just need to not lose sight of the cross, what my focus is, what the bigger mission is, and just really, you know, having a life that is bathed in prayer and in the Word. I'm up every morning by 6 o'clock. I spend time in the Word. I spend time in prayer, and that's what really gets me focused. And it's not that I don't have dry seasons, but I do, you know, maintain an enthusiasm, you know, in everything that I'm involved in, and just, you know, have that that willingness to be reachable, teachable, open to the leading of the Lord. And I think if you're open to His leading, see it truly as ministry, then you will maintain, you know, a deep level of satisfaction.
And I've always found with the artists and musicians and that who keep that focus in front, that's they're the ones that are effective, both in ministry and in just being able to serve God. I just want to go back to one thing for a second, and you're talking about your musical history and that. You cite your bio cites musicians like Stevie Wonder and groups like Steely Dan as influences. Has there ever been sort of one main influence on you musically through the years?
I would probably say Stevie Wonder. I'd say, like, most of the music I'm influenced by is it's a lot of the Motown artists and a lot of music that's come out from the black community, and that's, you know, I think I just really connect with it because there is such a groove, there is such a musical intelligence which is there, which doesn't exist with so many other artists. And, you know, Stevie Wonder's, you know, his earliest stuff, like albums like Inner Visions and Talking Book and that, I mean, to me, those are watershed records. And Songs in the Key of Life, I mean, there's, the writing is rich, and, you know, all of those guys. I mean, just tons of talent, and Aretha Franklin and Smokey Robinson, and you know, these guys were really there. And that band, you know, that played on most of the sessions, the Funk Brothers, you know, out of Motown is quite something. So, you know, they've had probably the biggest influence. But then, you know, I mentioned bands like Steely Dan, and Steely Dan really has its roots in you get a lot of the jazz kind of sound. Yep. So, I mean, to me, I've played in every style of band you can think under the sun, from bluegrass to rock to you know, funk, you know, whatever it is. But I think that the music that I find most interesting is music that it does have kind of a jazz bass, which a lot of music does have that in terms of chord progressions and chord structures, and then where you mix up the rhythms with it and, you know, and still write in a way that you know, it is catchy and it's interesting for the listener. I really like to have music that's got a good beat, that's got a good groove, that gets, you know, the legs moving and gets people in a place of, you know, this is great. I think that within the you know, the bigger picture of Christianity, you know, for a lot of folks, they've kind of whitewashed what they think Christian music is. It all has to have the U2, you know, digital delay guitar effect. It has to have, I mean, this is what people are convinced is what worship is. And that's not even biblical. You know, the Bible says to sing a song to the Lord and to sing with joy. And, I mean, I think about all the demonstrations of that joy and that excitement about the Lord. And I think that the key is to have lyrics that are theologically based and theologically sound, but to literally sing a new song to the Lord, to find different ways. And, you know, we are a body of Christ. There's all different styles of music. There's got to be room for all different styles of music within the context of Christian music and Christian radio. And, you know, I'm encouraged because I am seeing some artists in Christian music that are deviating from, you know, from the norm, if you will, and bringing out some of these other styles and are experiencing success. I mean, as an artist, you still have to play it safe and have a certain amount of tunes that are going to fit into the, you know, kind of the regular pocket. But I am encouraged that a number of stations are taking that leap and seeing that there's, you know, more to it than just kind of being one-dimensional.
Yeah. Well, I need to take a quick break, and I want to explore some of the stuff you were just talking about in a minute, but we do need to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be continuing our conversation with Scott Touache and talk about the story behind his Freedom Train CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Past the gift received, you breathed your last, and in 3 days you rose again, poured out your spirit till you come again. And I can't explain the way I feel deep inside my heart. Your love is real.
Your love is real.
His life for us.
He paid the price.
He paid the price.
He walked with us. To live with
he
man.
He lived with man.
He gave his life.
He gave his life.
He'll come again.
He'll come again.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Forever Change, the first single from Scott Touache's new CD, Freedom Train. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Scott. You were talking earlier, just before we went to break, about the different style and that you were in. And I actually caught hints of Earth, Wind, and Fire and Commodores. I was around during the early days of funk, just before it morphed into disco, unfortunately. But I was listening to it, and I'm thinking, like, there's some really good solid funk backbeat here, and I could see the bass player slapping the bass as he's playing in that. And I'm just wondering, you know, when you're looking at that style, is that a style? What draws you to that funk blues style?
I think it's a personal choice, too, and just in terms of music that I like. I mean, I love music that's got good groove, that's got good beat. And, I mean, you know, there was so much. I mean, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire, I mean, these bands, I mean, you mentioned, I mean, they basically took that funk sound and put it in a pop context. But, I mean, people who grew up in that era, I mean, they still remember all of that music, you know, fondly. And it is catchy. It is groovy. I mean, there's an awful lot, you know, to it. So, you know, it's just, for me, I'm very much into music that has, you know, some sort of rhythmic quality to it, that has some sort of movement. It's interesting to play. It's interesting to sing. It's interesting to, you know, to listen to. And I think, you know, even in going towards recording this album, I mean, I knew that I had to have, you know, really put together a crackerjack team, you know, going in on this record. I mean, you know, going back, I decided after the success with the last record, working with, you know, two-time producer of the year, Andy Horrocks, that I wanted to work with him again, but this time to bring in some other people that I hadn't, you know, played with before. And, you know, I think the end result has been great.
Now, you talk about the, you know, liking songs that have a groove and a beat in that. Are you the type of songwriter that the music comes first and then the lyrics, or how do you craft your songs?
Yeah, I would say that music comes first and then lyrics. And in fact, it's an interesting thing for me, because I don't mean this in a, you know, like in a boastful way or this kind of thing, but I mean, it's like, I'm such a busy guy with running, you know, musical prayers and our 20 artists and with teaching and, you know, with everything else that I'm doing, that if I do sit down to take time just to look at writing, there is typically a song which is there. And a lot of the stuff that I write, it's interesting. I typically get an idea while I'm driving, and I spend a lot of time driving, and I'll get a groove, and I'll have that in my head, and I will literally be singing it to myself and rehearsing it to myself until I get home, so I can actually, you know, I typically know in my head what chords I need, and I have the framework and start doing it. So I've actually traveled now with one of these flip cams, these HD video cameras, and if that starts happening in the truck, you know, I'm driving, and I'll set this thing up. I know quickly where to position it, and I'll just start singing out the different vocal ideas and record while I'm driving. So when I get home, I don't lose it. Because I mean, I don't know about you, but my memory is terrible. I mean, I don't even remember what I had for dinner last night. So I mean, I just have to, you know, practice, you know, like that. But that's a lot of it comes when I'm driving, and then after that, within the structure of the music, lyrics just fly. And, you know, where do the lyrics come from? It's whatever I'm dealing with at the time or whatever has been, you know, placed on my heart. And that typically fits into that framework, because typically my writing works in a structure where you've got, you know, your verse, chorus, you know, you've got your bridge. But I typically start with writing with the chorus and typically orchestrated in a way where there's a good hook and, you know, a good series of two or three statements that have repetition that people can grab onto.
Well, and there seems to be a little bit of a ballad characteristic to your lyrics. Not that the songs are ballads, but Visiting Day, you're telling a story.
Yeah.
You know, so that there's a storytelling component in there. Is that something you do deliberately, or that just flows with the way the music's going?
It just flows, and it's interesting because I write in so many different styles. Like Visiting Day, I mean, that was a song that came out of prison ministry. That was going to visit some brothers in jail, and you know, basically being in line, you know, and seeing, you know, the moms and the kids who are, you know, crying in line, waiting to go through, you know, jump through the hoop so they can go and visit, you know, the husband and father, you know, in prison, and you know, going through there and just experiencing that raw emotion, and then really thinking about some of these guys that I know who are in jail, and just thinking that, you know, if my life had taken a different path when I was a young person, you know, I could have been the guy who ended up with a criminal record, and I could have had a very different reality, but I didn't, you know, for whatever reason. So I think, you know, writing about, you know, there's lines in there where I sing about, you know, there's a heart that beats behind these steel bars. These are the children of promise covered in scars. You know, just to sing about, you know, where are we at with compassion. Because I think that where the church blows it all together is that we get into this whole spirit of condemnation and judgment and, you know, oh, you bad person, you've done this. But we're not actually being the church of Christ. We're not actually showing love to people and showing them what we have actually received. So, you know, if it's a song like that, which is telling the story, it has a different flavor and it's written in a different style. And that's the only song that really has kind of more of a country flavor. Mm-hmm. Other ones can kind of be call to action songs, or they got more of a rock edge. So it just kind of depends that the music itself seems to dictate what comes out, you know, whether it's a ballad, whether it's an anthem, whether it's, you know, just kind of a groove.
Well, and there's a strength in the lyrics that I find, because there's a solidity to it. I mean, you can often, when you're getting into that funk pop, that funk groove, you can sort of just, you know, get into meaningless repetition of lyrics just to go along with the flow of the beat. But there are really solid lyrics in that. Does it take you a while to craft a song so that it has that strength, that lyrical quality?
I would say it just depends. Some songs, they almost go start to finish within a 24-hour period of time. I'm kind of like a dog with a bone. If I start something with a song, it will bug me until I finish it. So I think the longest I've taken in finalizing the song has maybe been a week, but a lot of times once they download, they're, you know, 24, 48 hours, and then there's some fine-tuning. As I start to play it and then start to sing it, I think, okay, this is too wordy, or this is too much here, I need to adjust it. I mean, Freedom Train is a classic example. The groove, the rhythm groove that I'm playing in that song, it's so complicated, and to be able to sing it took some effort. So I had to really make my lyrics fit also with the playing and where the natural pauses were, so it totally made sense. And I mean, now it's just, there's nothing to it, you know, but when I showed it to friends, they're like, how are you, you know, making that work? Because it just doesn't seem like you should be able to sing with that kind of groove, but it's, you know, it works.
Yeah, there's some time signatures that change in there that I'd hate to be able to, I need to look at the sheet music on that one.
Well, and this is where, with some of the guys that I brought in, I mean, I have my longtime lead guitarist. He is the best guitarist I've played with in over 30 years, and he's phenomenal. He's with me on every project. He plays with me live in the band. That's Joel Williams, and he plays in the studio. But we brought in some guys like Mike Jansen, who lives up in the area where you guys are. He's an award-winning jazz piano player.
But I love his stuff.
But Mike is amazing. But Mike has the funk down. He has all the retro sounds. He's got... You know, the different organs, the different things, and he totally gets it. When I give him a point of reference like Stevie Wonder, he's all over it. He totally gets it, and Mike just totally nailed it. The bass player, Mark McIntyre, he has one of these old Harmony basses that you know, now you go to try to get them on eBay. They're like, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, and they had been sold out of a catalog back in the day, I think from a Sears catalog. And these were the basses that were used, you know, back like Bootsy Collins, you know, that you're talking about funk. This was the type of bass that he used. I mean, we had this bass being played by this guy who's an amazing funk bass player. And, you know, so just the combination of people was amazing. And then we just brought in, like, I hired a horn section who had backed up a lot of the Motown greats. I mean, they were phenomenal, and they had they backed up Aretha Franklin, Billy Preston. They came in, and then really asking my buddies who are part of Musical Prayers to come in and lend their voices. I mean, I've got everyone from, you know, Sean Dayton, Chris Bray, Allie Matthews,
and Dana Marie.
Amy Savin. I've got Colin Bernard, who's a newer artist on the scene, but phenomenal, and, you know, a lot of people lending their voices to different songs, and a lot of guest appearances, and really. You know, it's really a kind of a community project in that sense as well.
Right. Well, we need to take one final break, and after we do that, we'll come back and finish our conversation with Scott Tuwege. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Up, nobody can love you, you're running away from a love so pure. You lost your way, corrupted your spirit, you think you're gonna lose it all, yeah. Fall to your knees, let go of ego, turn to the man with the nail-scarred hands. His love will restore you, his lover will heal you, you know he's gonna bring you home, yeah. Don't turn your back on his love anymore, no. Just fix your eyes on the light.
Back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to We Will from Freedom Train by Scott Tuwege. I'm your host, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Scott. What's been the reaction to the CD so far? You had your launch in March, but you've had a single out already. What so far have people been saying about it?
It's been pretty intensely good. I mean, I'd have to say, I mean, the first single, Forever Changed, I didn't know how that would be received. I mean, not every station in the country has picked it up. I mean, I've had a little bit of hesitation from the West, but pretty much everywhere else has been playing it. And, you know, which I was very happy about, because I really wanted to acknowledge, you know, some of the black artists that I'm friends with, and just to have them in there doing the duet with Prosper, who's a local rapper, and then, you know, having a trio of, you know, gospel singers, you know, singing back up on about six songs. I mean, that's been well received. Our CD release concert here was crazy. I mean, it was packed out. It was hosted by the local station CHRI, and we had hired a professional video crew who did, you know, live recording from there. We posted some videos, and you know, I'm just kind of stymied. I mean, I have a song there called In His Will that's got almost 15,000 hits, and the CD release concert was March 3rd. The song Forever Changed has now been gone into rotation on satellite radio on Sirius XM, The Message. And I, you know, I mean, I tried for a year and a half on the last record to get them to pay some attention to my music. And even though it was getting picked up everywhere else, they wouldn't touch it. But they're all over this. So far, so good. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how people respond to subsequent singles. But so far, so good with Forever Change. I think the next one we're going to launch is Joined Together, where I actually wrote that on an Irish bouzouki, which is kind of like a long-neck mandolin. But that's kind of my song where I've got you know, Allie Matthews, Dana Marie, Amy Savin, Chris Bray, Sean Dayton, Colin Bernard, a whole bunch of my buddies are singing on it, and it's a real fun, you know, sort of a song. So I think that should be well received, and you know, we're psyched and just looking forward to see what kind of doors are going to be opened with this record.
So what's up? What's next on your agenda?
Right now, I'm just kind of promoting a number of our other artists, you know, within Musical Prayers, and also getting myself positioned to launch a next single. Really looking to do some touring. My game plan for this summer is I'm planning on doing an extensive Ontario and East Coast radio station tour. So come and see you folks, come and see all the different stations, and, you know, to go and visit folks, hopefully do some live interviews, a bit of in-studio unplugged stuff, and then, you know, book some gigs, not with a full band. My vision with it is to do solo acoustic, but to travel with a bunch of my buddies from Musical Prayers. Like right now, Marcel Preston, who's the front man for Sky Terminal, which is up for Juno this year, he's going to travel with me. I'm trying to get some of my other buddies, so we kind of do this unplugged concert in different venues, which doesn't take a lot of thought in terms of PA and that, but basically where we can expose people to different artists in the collective and their music, and at the same time really put our focus on radio, because you know, for me, I have enjoyed a great relationship with radio, and whether I currently have a CD out or not, I've got another 19 artists that I'm constantly promoting, and you know, without the support of radio as an artist, you've got nothing. So yeah. So that's really the game plan this summer. We're hoping to be able to play Blues Fest again. We played Kingdom Bound last year, but we're not doing that this year. We've kind of got some other stuff in the works that may happen. Actually, we have something that's quite big that I can't really talk about yet, but we'll see what happens. But the last record gave me the opportunity to open for Peter Furler, Building 429, Kirk Franklin. So just hoping for more of those kind of bigger opportunities and just see what happens.
Well, if people want to track you and find out what's going on with that, or get a copy of Freedom Train, where can they do that?
Well, the easiest thing right now is to go to scottytmusic.com. So that's scottytmusic.com, and that's kind of the one-stop shop. You can access all the social networking, everything else, iTunes links, everything is there. I do have a distribution deal now with David C. Cook, and which you know, they bought up Integrity Music, and so the CD will be coming into Christian bookstores all across Canada for sure. But a lot of people now are in iTunes land, so scottytmusic.com will give you everything. And if they go there, please like my Facebook page and follow me on Twitter, and you can see videos. Even I've got videos we put together from in the studio, which is really cool, all different sessions with these guys, and you can get everything there.
Cool. Well, thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much, brother.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection, and thank you to my guest, Scott Tuage. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.